This week, August 18th, 2015, on The Digital Story. 10 posing tips from Roberto Valenzuela. Is now the time to buy the Panasonic GM5? Hair light. The Epson SureColor P800 reviewed. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Happy to be here with you. I am back from steaming hot Las Vegas. I was there for Photoshop World. And I am now in steaming hot Santa Rosa. So I didn't really improve my lot in life very much by moving out here. It's funny, I actually did a triangle. I went from Oakland to Las Vegas to cover Photoshop World. And we'll be talking a little bit about that because I have some great posing tips from Roberto Valenzuela. Then I went down to Southern California for my mom's 80th birthday, and we had a family gathering, and it was over 100 degrees there. In fact, it was the same temperature day and night in Southern California as it was in Las Vegas, and my parents don't really believe in air conditioning. So that was a fun few nights there. And then I came home to Santa Rosa, and you know what? It's hot here too. So it is just hot everywhere. It's hot in the recording studio, and we are going to have a hot show today. So let's get going with this week's weekly update. The weekly update. Nikon P900 review. It's a phenomenal zoom with a range from 24 millimeters wide to 2,000 millimeters on the super telephoto end. Imaging Resource reports, all told, this camera is simply a great value. Yes, it has obvious limitations and trade-offs that accompany any long zoom fixed lens camera as of this writing. But it does it enough well at this price, which is about $600, to warrant the great value seal from us here at Imaging Resource. If you're shooting wildlife or similar outdoor subject matter and need the best zoom range currently offered in an all-in-one package at a great price, this is the best option out there and certainly earns a Dave's pick. I picked this story because I don't really talk about super zoom cameras a whole lot, but recently there's been a new crop of them, and they are interesting devices to have a camera that's not that big, doesn't have an interchangeable lens, yet has this crazy, in this case, zooming range of 24 millimeter to 2000 millimeter. And then to see some of the shots that Imaging Resource produced with the P900, I go, you know what? We should talk about this because some people, they want a simple camera like this. When they go on vacation, they want to pack a camera and not a bunch of accessories and be able to get great shots at the wide angle end or at the zoom of 2000 millimeters end and just be able to go about their merry way. Now, $600 is not cheap, but this is a lot of camera for the money. And I thought, all right, if you're thinking about a super zoom camera, either for you or someone's asking you about one, this Nikon P900 seems like a good one. And I have a link to the review published by Imaging Resource in the show notes. In other news, Petapixel asks, is shooting 4K resolution worth it for web video? So if you're producing web video, you may actually be better served by a superior 1080p camera at this time, the reviewer concludes, because lenses, encoding settings, codecs, sensor size, and sensor quality all impact the finished product. However, not everyone necessarily agrees with that. And so I put the link in the show notes, and there's a nice video where the reviewer really kind of goes into detail. If you're going to be publishing on the web, should you shoot 4K video? Or should you even worry about having to shoot 4K video? That's sort of the premise of it. And then, as you can tell by this little blurb here, he breaks it down into the different components. The featured reviewer comes to the conclusion that you don't need to shoot 4K in order to produce excellent web video. And then they have a little interesting counterpart sort of thing. If this is an area that you have questions about or you're interested in, then go over to the link that I have in the show notes for this weekly update post and check it out and watch the video and see what you think. Right now, I personally haven't made the jump to 4K video. When I need to shoot video, most of my stuff, all of my stuff actually, goes on the web. And 1080p is working fine for me right now. But who knows? That could change in the future. And that is this week's weekly update. Story number one, 10 posing tips from Roberto Valenzuela. So I sat in on Roberto's class at Photoshop World. I was there working with CT Digital Photography Magazine and Rocky Nook. And it was a good week. And some of the classes that I had a chance to see were quite good. But I like this one, and I chose this one to talk about today because we talk about technique, and in fact, I'm going to touch on technique in a later story today, talking about hair lighting. You know, most of the time we're talking about camera technique, how to set your camera, how to work the light, all that sort of stuff. And one thing that I hear from a lot of photographers is that posing is now the part that challenges them. In other words, they've been working hard to learn their camera. They've been working hard to figure out their lighting scheme. They've been working hard to get to that point. Then they find themselves standing there in front of a subject and just kind of going, can you put your hand on your hip? Can you look off camera a little bit? Can you point your toes to that fence post over there? and not really knowing what to do with that part. And believe me, I have been there myself. So I know exactly how that feels. And I have to tell you, even before we get to the tips, to some point before every shoot, before every portrait shoot, I kind of go, I don't know what I'm going to do today. And sort of have this mild panic about, am I going to get a good shot? Do I know what to do with this person? All that kind of stuff. To this day, that still happens. And then, of course, once I get shooting, I start to see things and, it all comes together. But that trepidation never really goes away. Now, what I like about Roberto's approach is that he's not a posing guide kind of guy. In other words, he's not going to tell you, all right, the best pose is, to put the weight on one foot, get the hips kind of, moving a little bit, put the hand like this, turn the head at this angle, and you will get a magical portrait. That's not really his thing. He's more what I call organic when it comes to posing. In other words, he really wants to look at the person, look at the environment, and then find that person's pose. Find a way to express that person. And his feeling is that canned poses don't work because all you do is, you're applying a template to a person. And so you're just going to get that person pushed into that template. These are my words, not his, but same sentiment. Instead of really finding that person. And I like his approach. I really like what he's saying. Now, to some degree, I think it's more challenging than just having, a page with 27 different poses on it and, just kind of rattling through them. But on the other hand, I think you really end up with a better portrait. So along those lines, I have 10 tips that are part of his organic posing, things that he reminds himself. Now, before I give one more thing, before I give you the 10 tips, and I know I'll get there, I promise. He evaluates pictures all the time. In other words, he keeps these 10 tips in mind, and then he looks at pictures in magazines and so forth, and really in his mind goes, how well did that photographer do with this pose or with that pose or whatever, going over the tips. And the reason why he thinks that's a good idea, he thinks you should do it every day, is because that builds up your mental agility when it comes to posing. You're seeing things better. you're seeing things faster. And just like anything else, practice makes more perfect. So I like that. So keep that in mind when I tell you these tips. All right, first one, don't fight the body. In other words, and this comes right out of applying a posing guide to a person. You know, if the person isn't comfortable, if the person isn't moving the way that you're asking them to move, don't fight it. Don't fight it. Move on to something else. In other words, go with the body and let the body tell you the direction that it wants to go as you're trying these different things. So don't fight the body. Along those lines, the second tip, don't move limbs past their threshold. And this is very interesting, and I really like this one. So for instance, if you're posing someone where they're leaning on a table, and you have their feet too far away from the table, and their arm has to kind of be stretched out awkwardly to make it work, that's probably not a good pose. That's probably not a good pose. If, on the other hand, you have them where they're kind of naturally walking up to the table, and you say, you know, just sort of lean on it, or you notice that they're leaning on the table while you're talking to them about something else and notice the way that they do it, then work within what their limbs want to do. Don't press arms up too high, out too far, you know, all that kind of stuff. Don't press them past their comfort threshold. Keep them within the comfort zone and you'll get more natural looking poses. Number three, do a plane check, you know, like a vertical plane kind of thing, where you look at the shot once you have it kind of set up and go, you know, what is the camera seeing here? Like, do you have a knee that's closest to the camera, and is that knee posed properly, or is that just going to be a big knee in the foreground while the face is, you know, back behind it? So look at the plane of the photo and look for things like elbows jutting out and things like that. And move things around so that you have a more pleasing plane. You know, just think of it as like a transparent wall where the parts line up against this wall in a pleasing manner. It sounds weird, but when you really start to look at it, it's really cool. Eyes looking away allow the viewer to enjoy the photo easier. Now, I thought this was interesting, and I will tell you that I don't always agree with this. His point being that if you have the person always looking in the camera, then the person that's viewing the image has to engage with the subject by looking at their eyes. That's what we do. And therefore, have a harder time enjoying the rest of the composition, the rest of the image. On the other hand, if the subject is looking away from the camera, we don't have to engage with them and can more easily enjoy the other parts of the photo. I think this is one that you should try, well, maybe at first by looking at magazine photos and see what you think. And then if you believe there's something to it, try it in your images. Do both. Do looking at the camera, looking away, and see what you think. It's good food for thought. Number five, straighten the spine right before taking the shot. Now, he believes that most people can only keep their spine straight for about 5 seconds and they start to kind of relax again. So you don't do that in the beginning. You get everything else in the shot set up. Then you go, okay, now give me a good straight spine and then take the shot. Boom. Then they'll kind of slouch again, relax again, then have them straighten again and take the shot. That straightening the spine really does give the image more energy. It's noticeable. It's noticeable. And it's a good thing to keep an eye out for when you're looking at other images too. Fingers, number six. Fingers need to be pointing the same way. Now, they don't have to be smushed together or anything like that, but you don't want the hand totally spread so that the fingers are pointing in all directions, you know, where you're covering 180 degrees, something like that. You want those fingers pulled together more or less so that they're pulled together pointing in the one direction. And of course, the thumb can be the exception to that. The thumb doesn't always have to be pointing the same direction. It can be off a little bit. Keep your energy up so they will have energy. In other words, if you're, you know, slouchy, slouch, slouch, and, you know, you go, oh, you okay? Why don't you just, you know, try this a little bit, see how it works kind of thing, man. You're not going to get a lot of energy out of them. So you have to be up. You have to be energetic. you have to be engaged and excited, or at least show that, so that that energy is contagious for them, and so that they will try to rise to your energy. They will try to match your energy. So you have to be energetic so they can be energetic. Right angles tend to depict strength. Oblique angles are elegant. So if you want someone to be, you know, strong and proud and, you know, that kind of thing, then their arms are going to be angled at right angles, and, you know, all the composition is going to be have a lot of right angles. That's strength. If it's more of an elegant portrait, then the arms will not be at a right angle. They'll be at a softer angle, as will the legs. So right angles are strength and power. Oblique angles are more elegant. Number 9, everyone has a hard time, you know, what to do with the hand, getting a natural expression with the hand. His trick is you have the subject make a fist, hold it for a few seconds, then relax the fist. And when they relax the fist, the way that the fingers fold out when they relax it, keep them that way and then just position the hand where you want. It's really cool. It works really well. Make a fist, then relax it. And then when it's relaxed, position the hand. It's beautiful. It looks great. And finally, number 10, you want elbows pointing down, not toward the camera. And this is especially true when you have like a couple shot and they're facing each other and, you know, and their sides is the camera. Do not have their arms out where the elbows are pointing at the camera. It's very distracting. Watch those elbows and keep them pointing down to the ground. Now, if you want more detail about these tips, check out his article. He has an article in CT Digital Photography Magazine called Perfect Posing. Great article. He goes into all this and a whole lot more. It's about 18 pages. He has all the photos that he used during his posing talk at Photoshop World in that article. Use the same shots. So you weren't able to go to Las Vegas, but you can read this article in the summer edition of CT Digital Photography Magazine. You can subscribe to it. You can go get it on the newsstand. They're there like Barnes & Nobles and so forth. Or you can buy single copies at the shop on the site. And I have a link to that in the show notes. So those are the 10 posing tips that I brought back to you from Las Vegas. Compliments of Roberto Valenzuela. Story number 2. Is now the time to buy a Panasonic GM5? Now, in case you're not familiar with this model, that is the little guy. That is the little guy that came out, oh, wow. What has it been? About 8 months ago, I believe. It was a successor to the GM1. It's Micro Four Thirds, tiny body. And what they did with the GM5 is that they added an electronic viewfinder. So it has both the LCD and an electronic viewfinder in the same tiny package. Now, when it came out, it was $899. Of course, that includes the 12 to 32 mega IOS zoom. That's worth about $350 all by itself. But it was a little high for a lot of folks that wanted a good compact, something that would literally fit in the front pocket of your pants, no problem at all, and take great pictures. Let me give you a few more of the specs, and then we'll talk about the pricing and what's going on here. 16 megapixel live MOS sensor, 3-inch 921,000 dot LCD, and a 1 million dot electronic viewfinder, full HD 1080p video at 60 frames per second, contrast detection autofocus, built-in Wi-Fi connectivity with apps for both iOS and Android, and a highly compact magnesium alloy body. It has an external flash hot shoe. The pop-up flash went away from the GM1 and they replaced it with an electronic viewfinder. I think that's a good choice. So this camera now is on sale in a lot of places. I have a link to B&H Photo for $698. That's a heck of a camera. I mean, the 12 to 32 millimeter lens is worth about $350. So you're really only paying about $350 for the camera itself. and it's a very interesting camera. We have a couple listeners. I know Dennis is one of them that just loves this camera. When he first got it, he sent me 3 or 4 emails with lots of images about how it's such a good nimble photographer camera with an extremely high nimbleosity rating. So I just wanted to let you know that if you've been interested in this camera, the price has dropped. I think now is a good time to buy it. I'm not aware of the GM 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever coming out real soon. It may. Sometimes that's what happens with price drops. But this is such a good camera, and for the money, it's a pretty good deal. Story number 3. Are you lighting the hair as well as the face? And this is just a shorty. So, you know, we're always thinking about, okay, getting the right light on the face. Do we have the lighting the way we want it on the face? Which is good. We want that. But I have noticed that if I put light on the hair too, that image really pops. And there's 2 ways that I do it. When I'm in the studio, I just use a simple LED and I positioned it so that it catches the hair, or I'll use a reflector. And then outside, I will use a reflector, or I'll do one of my favorite tricks, which is put their back to the sun. You know, they can be in partial shade and maybe the sun coming through the tree or whatever, and have the sun hitting their hair and maybe even their shoulders, you know, giving them a little rim light, and then bringing a little light in from the front, either with a flash or a reflector. The minute I put a hair light, and especially on women and men that have dark hair, the minute I put a hair light on it, it just changes the shots for me. I just wanted to add that to your checklist. Yes, get the pose right, as we talked earlier. Yes, make sure the lighting on the face is good. But if you want to put a little frosting on that cake, get a hair light going too. All right, let's take a stroll over to the screening room. Today's selection is Black and White with Lightroom and Photoshop with Brian O'Neill Hughes. Now, Brian works for Adobe. He's the product manager for Photoshop, I believe, and he knows his stuff. He's really good. He started doing some training with Linda a couple years ago, and I think it's going really well. This is one of his more current titles, doing black and white with both Lightroom and Photoshop. He shows you a lot of good post-production techniques for producing exquisite black and white. You can watch him in action by visiting the Digital Story Screening Room at lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And of course, while you're there, you can start your 7-day free trial and watch all of Brian's movies, plus every other title in that extensive online training library. But today's recommendation is Black and White with Lightroom and Photoshop with Brian O'Neill Hughes. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news. We have a new article from Red River Paper. This one's a gem, I tell you. The Epson SureColor P800 reviewed. So yes, I've been waiting for them to review this. I want the P600, but now that I've read this review, I might want the P800. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Here's what they wrote. The Epson SureColor P800 became available in June 2015. It is the successor to the Epson Stylus Pro 3880. The P800 is a 17-inch wide professional and prosumer level photo and fine art inkjet printer featuring 9 individual ink cartridges with the Ultra Chrome HD pigment ink system. Like the venerable Ultra Chrome K3 system, the new ink set uses 5 color ink cartridges along with 3 black ones. And then they really get into it. This is a terrific review. If you're curious about this printer, you want to know all the ins and outs, you want to know what's happening inside of it, you want to know the kind of images it produces and how it compares to the 3880 and all that kind of stuff. This is your article. I have the link to it in the show notes from Red River Paper. These guys love printing. Now, they make paper, they sell paper, they pass the savings on to you. They have just about every surface imaginable, but it goes way beyond that. These guys are printing gurus, and they're passionate about fine art output. So their latest piece is the Epson SureColor P800 Reviewed. Check it out. That looks like a pretty sweet little printer. What else is going on here? The Fall Color Workshop with Safari West is coming October 23rd through the 25th here in Sonoma County. And we go to Safari West and just have an amazing time. If you're interested in this workshop, we still have a couple seats open. Just go to the TDS Workshops page at thedigitalstory.com. Use the request form, the send me info form. It only asks you for three things. It takes you 3 seconds, and I'll make sure you get a reservation form. That's coming up October 23rd through the 25th. 6 years I've been doing this workshop, and it is terrific. Just a note about sizzle picks. So I was at Photoshop World, as I mentioned earlier, and there was some competition there. So I had a chance to look at some of the metal prints and some of the acrylic output by some of the competitive labs. And they were good. I have to say they were good. They picked good photos. They look great. But I thought what was interesting, that I'm looking at sizzle picks every day, and so I'm very familiar with how they look. And then I got to look at this other output. And I will also say that I noticed a difference. And people ask me about that. They go, hey, did you see these things over there? How do you think they compare to sizzle picks? And I have to be honest. I have to say that if you want the best output, the 5K ultra high definition output on probably the highest quality aluminum that's out there, then go sizzle picks. Not to mention that they have experts who are preparing the image for you. This is not a cookie cutter process. This is handmade fine art, and you benefit from it. And as I mentioned last week, they will be raising prices soon, but if you order now, you can get in before they raise the prices. SIZZLPIX.com. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. It is like a retina display, ultra high definition, 5K retina display you hang on the wall. And finally, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, please click on the respective ad tile under the products header in the box halfway down the second column on thedigitalstory.com. That helps support the site. And I asked people about that at the workshops, and they go, yeah. I remember most of the time. That's okay. I'll take most of the time. Anytime that you remember, I totally appreciate it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me. Hopefully this heat wave is going to break soon. Like I said, I have experienced heat in Vegas, heat in Southern California, now heat in Northern California, and I'm about heated out. But in a few days, it'll probably break. I'm working on some hot stories for next week, though, so make sure you come back and join me. Until then, have a fabulous and somewhat air-conditioned week. Bye-bye now.